And just to say that Debbie's here with me
Hi,
this
everyone.
morning, helping me to lead the service, which is great. And so this is the first Sunday after Trinity. And it's lovely to be with you this morning. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. Oh, just going to admit someone. There we are. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image. And in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts. Your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And our psalm this morning, our verse is taken from that wonderful Psalm 139, and we begin by saying the refrain together. Search me out, O God, and know my heart. O Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You mark out my journeys and my resting place, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. You encompass me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, so high that I cannot attain it. Search me out, O God, and know my heart. I thank you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, my soul knows well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my form as yet unfinished. Already in your book were all my members written, as day by day they were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How deep are your counsels to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I count them, they are more in number than the sand, and at the end, I am still in your presence. Search me out, O God, and know my heart. Creator God, may every breath we take be for your glory. May every footstep show you as our way, that trusting in your presence in this world, we may, beyond this life, still be with you, where you are alive and reign forever and ever. Glory to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And we're going to go over to our first reading, 1 Samuel verses 3, it's 1 to 20. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many versions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel," and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told you him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for my sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall on the ground. And all Israel from Dan and Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our canticle this morning is a song of David. Words taken from Chronicles. And we begin by saying the refrain together. "Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. Blessed are you, God of Israel, forever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to you. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name, for all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all."
And now we're looking at our second reading, which is Mark 2:23. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you ever read about David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And as he also gave some to his companions, then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. For the next few weeks into early July, we will be focusing on some Old Testament readings taken from 1 and 2 Samuel. These stories used to be the main fodder of Sunday school classes and holiday clubs, but alas, times have changed. And now the stories are, and the characters are, unfamiliar. So I think it is worth taking time throughout the year to recollect them, to remember them, or maybe even meet them for the first time. The Old Testament is important. Jesus thought so. It was all he knew. And so I think it is worth looking at some of these stories together. Today's Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel takes place as the nation of Israel is being formed. It is early on in Israel's history. It is quite a story that moves from the people of Israel being slaves in Egypt to being freed from slavery and formed into God's own people, a nation under the leadership of Moses and Joshua. After that, and after they had claimed the promised land, the Israelites have a series of judges, people like Gideon and Deborah. But it is all a bit hit and miss. And even though the people are in the promised land, life is less than perfect. God may have given Israel rules by which to live, but there is a lot lacking. This is not an organized nation. The first book of Samuel does not start with the story of a nation, but focuses on one man within it, Elkanah. He's in a dilemma. He has two wives, but that was not unusual. Only one of his wives, Hannah, is his favorite, and she cannot have children. Against the context of the Old Testament stories, this rings alarm bells. God has promised that he will work out his purposes through the offspring of his people. Barrenness puts God's promises in question. It was the same with Sarah, Abraham's wife, and it was the same with Rachel, the wife of Jacob. So, what's the big deal? Surely this is a domestic family issue, and it doesn't involve anyone important, just a husband and his wife. Yet this situation was going to have huge consequences for the nation of Israel and for history. Hannah begs God to give her a child. Her prayer is fervent and emotional. It's full of tears. While she is praying, she meets a priest, Eli, who instead of being sympathetic and comforting, accuses her of being drunk. However, Eli reassures Hannah that God will have heard her prayer and that her prayer will be answered. Despite his shortcomings, Eli knew that prayer is powerful. And so it is. When we pray, we are asking God to act. Sometimes we see the answer straight away, but at other times we have to wait and wait and wait, maybe even years. Whatever the result, prayer changes things. It changes the dynamic. We ask God to be involved, and then we have to trust. Eventually, Hannah had a baby, but she had made a promise to God that she would give any child she was given back to God. And she did what she had promised. She gave her boy Samuel to the Lord, and Samuel went to live with Eli in Shiloh. I have always found this part of the story challenging. How could God expect Hannah to keep her promise? Surely God knew it was a promise made in desperation. It was a rash promise, and God must know that it would be the hardest thing imaginable to give up her son. But Hannah knew that Samuel did not just belong to her. He had been given to her by God. Hannah dedicated her son to God, just as we might in baptism. And she affirmed by her actions that she believed Samuel belonged to the Lord. When we dedicate our children or grandchildren to God, we are asking for God's blessing to be poured out on their lives. We ask that they will hear the voice of God for themselves and respond. We can all pray for the children we know, that they will respond to God for themselves. I remember very clearly when I was a curate at St. Peter's, and now I'm going to embarrass John. He may not or may not remember this. But we had a holiday club at St. Peter's, and I had forgotten to tell the people who came up to St. Peter's to man the church if we had visitors that actually they wouldn't be needed. And John arrived in the church in the middle of the holiday club, and I felt terrible that I hadn't told him that actually he wouldn't be needed. John's response was, "I'm going to get a chair and sit here and pray that these children will come for confirmation." What a wonderful thing to do. We can pray for those children that we know and that they don't know, that they will respond to God. You can buy a mug which says, "Be careful what you say to me. You may end up in my sermon." I think I should. I think I need one. The Bible tells us that the word of God was rare in those times. Samuel was born into precarious times. We are told that the people did what was right in their own eyes, and even Eli's sons, who were also priests, did the same. This might be ancient literature, but it sounds familiar, doesn't it? The word of God was rare. People did what they liked. They had their own standards and their own values. The Israelites may have been living in the promised land, but that didn't mean that they were living as though they were God's chosen people destined to bring light to the world. These were dark times, and I feel in some ways the same is true for us. We need to pray that the light of Christ, the light of God's presence, will illuminate our land, especially as we approach a general election. What the Israelites would learn was that even though the times may appear dark, God had seen and God had heard, and God would act. Elkanah and Hannah's personal domestic story would become part of God's overriding narrative of salvation. In today's reading, we hear of how Samuel slept in the temple with the Ark of the Covenant while Eli slept in the other room. Imagine that, a little boy sleeping in the very presence of God. Samuel hears a voice calling him three times in the night, and three times Samuel goes to Eli and asks what he wants. Samuel doesn't understand that the voice he is hearing is not Eli's, but it's God's. And even Eli doesn't get it straight away. And when the penny finally drops, Eli tells Samuel to speak to the Lord. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." I believe that God speaks to each one of us. He calls each one of us. Have you heard his voice? It's easy to miss it, to put it down to a coincidence or a human interaction. We can be mistaken into thinking that God's call to us needs to be dramatic or disruptive. But so often God speaks to us quietly and slowly, allowing us to ponder and reflect and to understand what God is asking us to do. Maybe to stand up against an injustice. Maybe to speak the truth. Maybe to draw alongside someone. And maybe to fervently pray for someone else. Sometimes we need an Eli to help us, to show us, to help us discover what God is asking of us. In many ways, Samuel was an outsider, an interloper. Eli's sons were from the priestly line and Samuel wasn't. And it's also easy to think that God is only going to use certain sorts of people. He's only going to call the right sort of people, and that definitely doesn't include me. The Bible tells us again and again that God doesn't always call the expected ones, the entitled ones. He calls the unexpected, the vulnerable, the broken, and the outsider. In other words, he calls ordinary people like you and me. Of course, the downside of this is, like Samuel, God may give us a message which no one else wants to hear. But we need to hear the word of God because it is still rare. God calls each one of us to play a part in his kingdom. God is always a God of surprises. And we need to encourage one another, those of us who follow Jesus, to hear God's call and his voice. May we hear him speaking to us, and may we do whatever he asks of us. Amen.
Okay, let us pray for the church and for the world. And let us thank God for his goodness. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave with you, may peace I give to you. Look not on your sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant in it the peace and the unity of your kingdom." Lord, receive our praise.
And hear our prayer.
Eternal God, in those perfect realms no sword is drawn but the sword of the righteousness, and so strength known by the strength of love. So guide and inspire the work of those who seek your kingdom, that all your people for every colour, race, class and creed may find their security in the love which casts out fear and in the fellowship of Christ our Saviour. Lord, receive our praise.
And hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick and for those who care for them. We pray especially today for Jack, Brenda, Olivia, Rosemary, Mary D, Mary B, John, Alex, Maya, Hilary, Frank, Penny, Jenny, Chris, Mary H. Be close, we pray, to all who suffer. Bring them hope and bring them healing. In the name of Christ our Saviour, Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. And we remember with thanksgiving those whom we love but see no longer. Especially we give the thanks today for the lives of Joan Blackford, Anne Roxby Cox and Iris Wotton. We pray for their families and friends and all who mourn. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. And the collect. Eternal Father, we thank you for nourishing us with these heavenly gifts. May our communion strength us in the faith, build us hope in up in hope, and make us grow in love. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us, and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Debbie.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to see you all. I hope you have a good day ahead. And we'll see you next week, hopefully.
Thank you.
That was lovely. Bye-bye. Good service. Thank you.
Another exciting Old Testament instalment.
Oh, wait.